Following was recorded in someone's basement. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Outsider Show, The Pro Show! With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote. Take it away, guys!
And my name's Mark.
And we are back together again for the PWO show, the Pro Wrestling Outsider show.
Are you going to too-sweet me this week?
Yeah, that's too-sweet it.
Yowie, too-sweeted me!
So, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us.
Yes.
Today's episode, we are going to break down Crown Jewel, which takes place tomorrow. Halloween at, I think it starts at like noon Eastern. Yeah. Is like the pre-show or whatever it is.
Yeah, the big time difference.
Yeah, so I'm assuming everyone will watch it late tomorrow night, perhaps Friday before SmackDown.
Probably before this podcast.
No, because we're going to get it up tonight.
That's right, get it up tonight. All of you guys, you can hear us right now. Download the podcast. Listen to the podcast. And or if you haven't listened to the podcast yet, you have to not watch Crown Jewel. You have to listen to our podcast, right?
That's right.
That's how they should do it.
Yeah. And then, so after we break down each match, and then we will wrap it up with some little bit more wrestle talk.
Yeah, a little house cleaning items. We'll talk about the week of wrestling, and we'll go from there.
All right. So we will be back after this break. And shout out to Alan for the constructive feedback. Apparently, our break music is a wee bit loud compared to our talking. So hopefully I have fixed it this week, and we won't blow out people's speakers.
Let's not do that. We'll talk nice and easy for you, Alan.
All right. Can you hear me? We okay. Will be back.
I'm back.
We are back.
Hello.
Thank you so much for sticking around.
Appreciate it.
So, October 31st, at roughly noon Eastern Standard Time, they will be coming to you live from the WWE Network for this year's iteration of Crown Jewel.
Yes.
Taking place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, at the King Fahd International Stadium.
Hmm.
So, that being said, we wanted to take this opportunity to break down each of the matches, and we shall go from there and talk about our thoughts about the build-up and all that jazz.
Yeah, and what's to give WWE a little bit of credit, of course, they got a lot of heat about their visits to, you know, Saudi and a lot of the Crown Jewel or Greatest Royal Rumble events or whatnot, but I'll tell you, not saying it's perfect, but at least I think this time, over the last several weeks, I think they've put more effort this time around building matches coming to Crown Jewel than they probably ever have. So kudos to that. And if anything, it kind of gave them a little bit of an excuse while the draft is happening, where you don't need to focus on so many main storylines, because you can kind of make it, well, whatever, we're talking Crown Jewel, because then once when Crown Jewel's done, it's done. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, there's still a bit of an issue with, and this one's a little bit better on the tail end, of just not enough time between other pay-per-views.
Oh, hell yeah.
We held in the cell. We had 3 weeks. We actually get, I think, 4 weeks for
Survivor Series,
almost 4 weeks. So at least it's a little bit better, a little bit more time for people. So I'm okay with this one. And there's a little bit of extra stuff that isn't really related to kind of the regular season of wrestling.
Right.
So at least you get a little bit of variety here. So we're going to break it down in no particular order because we have no idea what the order is.
The order looks a little weird.
But we will focus on some of the smaller ones and then talk about the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So first up, we will go with the pre-show, already confirmed pre-show match, is a 20-man battle royal. Sunil Singh, which I believe is one of the Bollywood Brothers?
Bollywood Brothers, yep.
Is he the 247 champion? Or is it the other Singh?
I believe it's the other Singh. Is the other Singh's name there? I'll note if I see it.
No, he is the current 24/7 champion.
Yep, Sunil. Sorry. Yes.
Mojo Rawley, Eric Rowan, R-Truth, Sin Cara, the Brian Kendrick, Titus O'Neil, Tony Nese, Akira Tozawa, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, Buddy Murphy, Andrade, Drake Maverick, Eric Young, Luke Harper, Cedric Alexander, Heath Slater, Humberto Carrillo, and No Way Jose.
No Way Jose.
So I was going to initially think that this was the 24/7 Battle Royal. But in all reality, there is actually some legitimate talent in this.
Not bad.
You know, we have Buddy Murphy, Andrade, Shelton. Luke Harper, Sheldon Benjamin seems sticking around, Cedric Alexander, Humberto, they're really pushing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then you have your regular Joe Schmoes who run around the ring at a oddly slow pace, just can't seem to catch up.
It seems to be the 24/7 gimmick.
Yeah.
Is, okay, we need a 24/7 segment. Everyone just chase each other around like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, one thing that I love is when you have battle royals, when you have anything, I love it when there's something tied to it.
Yeah.
And in this case, there is. The winner of this battle royal will face AJ Styles for the WWE United States Championship.
On the pay-per-view.
That very night. So that'll be quite interesting, especially too, when you really look through, you know, obviously Cedric Alexander being quite familiar with AJ Styles recently.
Yeah.
You know, the OC bullying Humberto.
Yeah.
You know, just this past week on Raw. So I'm going to say, if I had to say who may win it, my money is going to be between Cedric Alexander or Humberto.
Like to win? Who do you think is going to win?
So,
who would you like to win?
100%. That's yes, because that's sometimes the big difference. I think Humberto's going to win.
Yeah.
Because I think they've been pushing him. This is another great way to push at no loss of anyone else.
Yeah.
So that's who I think. Who would I want to win? Oh, that's a tough one. Part of me, I'm like, I don't know. It's... Oh... Give me your thoughts and give me a second to think about
it. So, I agree. I think Humberto Carrillo is going to win. It just seems to make the most sense given the current storyline. Who I would like to win, I would actually like to see Luke Harper win. Because I don't think we see him enough in the ring. As much as I love Andrade and I enjoy watching Buddy Murphy, I just think that Luke Harper, we need to see him more. Or let him run free.
So you know what? So what's funny was going through my head was, so two choices, one of them being Luke Harper. Where my brain was going was, you know, because what do I think and what do I want? Sometimes what I want is also for entertainment. So what do I want? Luke Harper. And if you know, if you haven't been hearing, you know, the outside drama, you know, several months ago or last year when Luke Harper was injured, he was ready and scheduled and cleared to come back in February of this year. They never put him anywhere. He then asked for his release. WWE declined him of the release, so he kind of sat at home for a while. He was at WrestleMania on the... What is it? What's their version of StarCast? Like their
Access.
Little... Access. He was on an Access against a local NXT, you know, no-name individual. I'd love to see Luke Harper because I think... He's back. You've been shining Rowan a lot, which is great. Harper, you definitely need to give him something. Even if he doesn't win the United States Championship, putting him in these positions to build and show his strength and to show he's relevant, there's a spot for him, and I'd love to see that. And small part of me wouldn't mind having a good laugh seeing Drake Maverick win by accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By complete luck. And then, if anything, have him completely sell it or no sell it, going like, no. Like, okay, yes, I'm in here. We're in Saudi Arabia. We're a crown jewel. Like, I'm not actually going to go against it. And then let that build up for like an hour or two into the show, where it's just little backstage segments where everyone's walking up to him going, how's it going, buddy? Like, you're going against AJ Styles? Like, and then it's just him sweating. And then maybe he puts on a good show. Because
he's good in the ring.
He's Drake Maverick. We laugh at him. But if you watch his independent work and some of his work even in his earlier stages of Impact,
yep.
Very good in the ring. So I would say yes, Luke Harper. But I think
Oh, hello. How's it going, little puppy dog?
Sorry, got distracted. Puppies. But yeah, I would say that. And yeah, let's go with Luke Harper. I agree with you as well.
Okay, so that match is going to happen. The winner faces AJ. Does AJ retain?
AJ retains. When I really look at it... Now, hold on. So, sorry. Maybe I spoke really, really soon. I think in the moving forward of the new era, I think there's room for AJ to be a little bit more at the top. Maybe some... Now that he's got... he's done a really good job with him in the OC getting a lot of heat. You know, get it like kind of... you know, solidifying themselves as a faction. If anything, maybe this is a perfect way... To have an upset. So whether it be, let's just say, Humberto wins. Small package, rolls up, boom. But then it's over. AJ doesn't go after it again. Right. You know what I mean? Or maybe it's easy that Cedric or someone costs him the title. So it doesn't show any weakness. But at the same time, because I think AJ can be a little bit more better towards something else now than...
I mean, I think... Yeah, I mean, you don't want another... Cedric Alexander storyline where he beats him but he really shouldn't have beat him and then they go back and forth. I think the problem, and this is one of those situations where you're running into a problem with the roster being too big, is so AJ, you give up the US Championship to somebody else, that's fine. But then what do you do with him? Where do we go from here? Because you have Seth Rollins and... whoever Seth Rollins is going to be dealing with once he's done with Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt's staying on SmackDown.
Right.
It kind of... Part of this problem, right, is that we know that... And we'll talk about it later, but we know likely outcomes of some of these matches just based on the draft. I just don't know who else... Does Braun Strowman start getting into it? Does he start, you know, becoming a factor into the Universal before? Like... I think the problem is if you don't have AJ maintaining the title, how do you keep him hot without losing his kind of star power?
Right. No, it's true. I think that's a tough one. I don't think AJ has to worry about losing his star power. You know what I mean? I think he's solidified himself where... Now, don't get me wrong. If you went on this massive losing streak...
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing, but I do think that, you know, it's almost like when Buddy Murphy beat Daniel Bryan, you know what I mean, several weeks back. Now, we don't really talk about it much, well, we are now, but at the same time, it didn't diminish Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, the underdog got one. That's where I think there might be some room for anyone to get one on a vet.
Yeah, but I just think, where do you take the vet from there? So, like, at least when he was on SmackDown, it was the place that AJ Styles built.
Oh, I think. I see where you're going now. That's where. What I mean, get the title off him, like Seth AJ.
Yeah, Seth, like, you got to get there at some point.
100%. Because especially to look at what we're coming around to. You know, we are days into November, December, January. So we're just less than 3 months away from the Royal Rumble, Road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So when you really kind of think about your raw talent now, and there's so much, and so much can develop over the next couple months as. Especially, too, you can't criticize WWE too much. I see a lot of people online going, oh, my God, since the draft, it's been horrible. You got to give them time. You really got to give them time. You know, I remember when the draft happened again years ago, Jim Ross said something very, very, like someone asked him, well, when do you know when the draft was successful or when you can judge it? And he was like, from the time the draft was until after WrestleMania. Like, give them that calendar almost year or 7 to 10 months plus to develop something, build a story. So I think, I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about, I mentioned, like, maybe that's, they didn't go this way, of course, it's tomorrow, but I would have loved to hope to see, well, The Fiend is on SmackDown, Seth is on Raw. Oh my God, like, if The Fiend is the Universal Champion, The Fiend comes to Raw. Does that mean it's a trade? A body for a body, Seth? You know what I mean? So I think there could have been a good opportunity to talk about, well, what happens if Bray Wyatt, a SmackDown person, wins the Raw world title? And that wasn't mentioned. And that's a big miss for me.
Right.
Because I think that's a very crucial, important point. By not talking about it, that almost makes me feel it's not going to happen.
Right. So let's go into that. That's one of the matches. Is Seth Rollins versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt. Falls count anywhere. The match cannot be stopped for any reason.
No.
Yeah, so this is why I kind of think that, you know, Seth's going to win, because they haven't really talked about him staying. I mean, there's the option you could have had where The Fiend is on Raw, but Bray Wyatt is on SmackDown. Right. Kind of similar to what Cody Rhodes had suggested with Stardust, is that Cody Rhodes was on one show and Stardust was on the other.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, I think that's, you know, we might as well talk about that match. And I just think that Seth's going to win. It just, from a logistics standpoint, it's very similar to some of the other pay-per-views that we've seen in the past when they fell on right around draft time, was that it was kind of written in stone who was going to win and who was going to lose, because they had titles that were specific to one show and not the other.
100%.
If they had done it where if there was another match for, like, say, a WWE title and one Raw and one SmackDown, then you can make the flip.
Yes.
And you can move the Universal to SmackDown and the WWE to Raw.
Oh, if anything, too, that's a great way to almost go, okay, so hand me that, I'm going to hand you a darker colored belt.
Yeah.
And you gave me this, and I'm going to give you a red belt.
Yeah.
Because the belts are very interchangeable that way.
Absolutely.
So, but then they just kind of, in this case, so, and I like that view, because that would make more sense. But in this case here, the thought of it just being what it is, Wyatt winning, and then continuing on SmackDown, then you have two world champions.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, in a good, well-set-up world, that would be a bitchin' storyline.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's two. Because the last time that happened, CM Punk walked out, and after Money in the Bank beating John Cena, went away for a couple months. John Cena defeated Rey Mysterio in the tournament. CM Punk, boom, called to personality, comes out, and you have two world champions. Very different scenario,
yeah.
But the who is the real world was interesting. You don't need that right now. That,
yeah.
You put that in your pocket for a later time when it makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. You know, Seth Rollins continuing as champion makes sense. I think he, you know, himself for his own brand, you know, moving forward and developing away from Bray. I think this is very unfortunate that Bray even went to SmackDown.
Yeah.
I would
it's
have loved
awkward
to
timing.
Very awkward timing, because this is, and once again, I know I'm like a broken record, but I talk about it all the time. Great storytelling is longevity. Several months. That's how some of the best storylines back then were. And it's not about how long it is, but that story. That's why when everyone was pissed that, and even when you and I were texting that night, where it was like, oh, this is BS, whatever. Even after think of it, it's like, no, Bray shouldn't have won his second match.
No.
His first time at the Universal Championship with this new era. It should take a little bit. But the payoff is now no longer there, where maybe at a few chances, eventually Bray just snaps and goes, okay, I'm done playing with you now. I want that belt.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, cool. And then you flip it on him and just put it, like, once again, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Roman, these guys are in a very unique, amazing part where a loss will never hurt Seth, because everyone knows, whether you boo him or cheer him, he's the man.
Yeah.
And he's one of the top guys of the business. So I'm not worried about him losing. But at the same time, you know, Bray, how are you going to develop him? He's back. He's hot. Everything's going right.
Easy.
You know, but, well,
I feel like it's on a downswing already.
But that's what I mean. He was. He was. And now we're looking at a position where we're thinking, you know, just not long ago, we were like, oh my God, look where he is. This is the perfect build. Several months of Firefly Funhouses for him to finally unleash the Fiend. Finn Balor gets taken out and, like,
yeah,
all this build. He essentially makes his Babe Ruth moment, and Bray Wyatt literally licks his finger and goes, I want the title. And then it happens.
Yeah.
But then now that just kind of all falls apart, and now you're kind of thinking, oh, well, what I was going to look forward to. You could have honestly put them both on Raw and let this drag out all the way to WrestleMania.
Well, that's it. So I think that, like, this storyline sped up to, and it's funny because I was reading somewhere that even Fox doesn't like the Firefly Funhouse. Which is just odd that you would then put them on that show. But yeah, I think that this whole storyline should have been WrestleMania time.
100%.
Even the first match. The first match shouldn't have happened at WrestleMania. Yep. It should have happened either Rumble or WrestleMania. Allow this build. Why doesn't... So, The Fiend keeps destroying the old-timers. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
It protects everybody else. Because he destroyed Legends. Okay, so he's done the Legends. Now he starts taking out the 24/7 crew.
Yes.
Or he shows up at NXT and starts destroying all of NXT.
Beautiful.
I think there was opportunities there where if Seth befriended people, if Seth was like, no, you don't deserve a title. You don't get to decide this. And then he starts going after Seth's friends.
Yep.
Maybe he, the final straw, Becky Lynch.
And then I can almost see it. And then I love that. And then you can almost see it. And Seth is defending his championship at Royal Rumble. So Seth is not in the Royal Rumble. He's trying to make sure that he gets a spot at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, and then he wins. He's holding up the title. Boom, 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 boom. Everything's great. But then Wyatt makes his attack and makes his point. And the beautiful thing about Bray's build and who he is and what he's developed, he doesn't need to win a Royal Rumble to become the number one contender.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt will tell you when he wants his shot, because he will take it from you and make it personal. And yeah, so obviously, of course, we can go about this all night and day. And obviously people will have their different opinions. But yeah, I think we're on the same page here in the sense of we're pretty much looking very closely to what is going to be a very big missed opportunity with both of them. And it's tough because this is what happens when you build someone so hot so quick.
Yep.
And to no fault, that's kind of what you want. I just hope the WWE, the wrestling gods, find a way to have him transition to SmackDown in a really, really good feud. That kind of makes it no longer about the title, you know, which is fine. Or shock us.
Yeah.
And put the damn title on Bray Wyatt and then let everyone go home going, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, beautiful thing about the 31st is a Thursday. The next day is SmackDown. You get your answer right there. Or you have to wait a little bit or whatever. I don't know. I'm a big fan of getting shocked. But I guess, once again, we'll have to kind of wait and see. There's so many different outcomes, so many different scenarios. And where do we go from here is going to be the biggest question out of this match.
All right. One of the smaller matches, but it's got some local significance, is NXT's Mansoor, who is a Saudi native. Mm-hmm. Also the winner of WWE's largest standard battle royal, is taking on Cesaro. Cesaro has kind of taken up the mantle of the main roster's Cassius Ohno, where if you want to prove that you're ready, you go through Cesaro.
Essentially, yeah.
Because he did it with NXT UK.
Yeah.
And I think it's not a bad thing. I think it's better to see Cesaro like that than necessarily weak or losing stuff. I don't really like his gimmick and what he's doing right now, but he's clearly missing Sheamus. I really like the bar.
Can't wait for Sheamus to come back.
Hopefully he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know these days, but
watch the Celtic Warrior workouts on YouTube.
Right. So, but it's a net head thing, right? Which
I know.
So, Mansoor versus Cesaro, who comes out on top?
Cesaro. You know, it's that's what I want anyways. I think when you look, so you hit the nail on the head in the sense where Cesaro is. Now, I would much rather see Cesaro in these spots where he's putting on 5-star matches than see him in a real crappy storyline where he's just getting pulled apart or set up for failure. I think Cesaro's in a great spot where, you know, Mansoor has everything to win and gain, regardless of win or loss. I think Cesaro wins, but I think Mansoor puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
Cesaro helps make him look like $1 million.
Yeah.
But then a loss to Cesaro, people will still walk away going, God damn. You know, because Mansoor's not that bad. You know, you do see some of this indie talent, you know, this independent talent and kind of from across the globe. And a lot of the times they don't work out. But hey, you know, Mansoor, once again, this will all ride on his performance in that ring.
Yes, I agree.
But he does have something. He's not going to be the next John Cena by any means. No. But at the same time, he could make a little bit of a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can put him in that category with Mojo, you know, Sin Cara, Brian Kendrick, Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a horrible spot to be in if you're a name.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm in agreement. I think this is an opportunity for Mansoor to show his home crowd that, you know, he's you know, showing them that they can be proud of him and all this other stuff. I think, though, when you have Cesaro there, I think, you know, he needs to be, again, he needs to come out on top in the end. The only thing I don't want is a handshake at the end.
No.
I'm tired of the handshakes. I'm tired of the good job handshakes. I just want you know, be who you are, be successful, and then let's move on.
I feel like we already have one of these. I feel like we already have a an Ali.
Yeah,
kind of looks like Ali a little bit.
He does look a little like Ali.
Yeah, but once again, like good, like fairly good looking guy, not too big. You know, there it is right there. Look at that. Ali and Met, like they look, if anything, actually he's bigger than Ali.
Yeah.
So right on. But no, it's, I think I'm rooting for him, to be honest. I think he, once again, like we said, he's got everything to gain, you know, and everything to also lose in this performance. So, and remember, Cesaro is, you know, a cliche, we call him the Swiss Superman, but he's crisp.
Yeah.
He's good. So you need to bring your A game when you're taking on Cesaro.
All right, so the second rendition of WWE's World Cup. Luckily, this is not one that Shane McMahon will win, but hey, you never know. Maybe he'll come back and he'll decide to team up with somebody and win.
Dolph Ziggler's out. Who's Rude's replacement? Here comes the money.
So I like that it's a tag team turmoil versus a bracket.
Yes, I do too.
So you have The New Day, which will be Big E and Kofi Kingston. Unfortunately, Xavier is going to be out for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
Looks like, I think he was already a little injured before, but then he got really injured when they were
apparently
in Australia.
He's, but yeah, apparently he's been working to his own fault, and apparently he's been working hurt for quite some time. I shouldn't say to his own fault, but, you know, to his own stubbornness.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a workhorse, you know, inside and outside of the ring, so it's good to see him take a little rest, so.
So, yes, and, you know, but it does mean that his YouTube channel will be pumping out some good stuff.
Yes, up,
he's
up
already
down.
Said that. So, we also have the Viking Raiders, Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, which we're unsure of whether we get Lucha House rules or not. So, who knows if we're, well, Freebird, essentially.
Yeah.
But it might be all three, you never know. Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder,
whoa,
who are
whoa,
so
whoa,
terrible, they don't even get their own name. The Revival, The OC, Dolph and Robert Roode, and the B-Team, who have somehow still stuck around.
Still around, that B-Team. Former Raw Tag Team Champions.
Well, and so are Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder somehow.
Very much so.
So, okay, so they're doing it first. It's essentially a gauntlet match. They call it a Tag Team Turmoil. I don't know why they just don't call it a Tag Team Gauntlet match. But it's a gauntlet match. One tag team comes in, second tag team comes in, they fight, winner stays, loser goes home.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I knew the order it would be in.
It's that obviously is going to make a difference. So let's answer two questions. One, who do you think is likely to win?
What's the other question?
What number is going to take it?
Ooh, okay.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
9.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it says 9 on there.
I cheated.
So we have 9 teams. So.
So with the trendy of Saudi Arabian shows,
yeah,
it usually almost kind of, some things are packaged, not always, but of what do you think the people there would want to see?
Yep.
What are going to make the people happy? What are going to make the people dance and jump and cheer? It ain't going to be the B team.
Nope.
It's not going to be Dolph and Robert Roode.
Nope.
I don't think it's going to be the OC.
Agreed.
It's not going to be Heavy Machinery. It's
ooh,
not going to
really?
Be Lucha House Party. It's not going to be Kurt and Zach.
Of course not.
I think it's going to come down to The New Day, The Revival, and the Viking Raiders. Seeing as how the Viking Raiders are the champions,
so
well, also
the Revival.
So the Revival, but you kind of look at babyface versus heel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! So I would say the winner comes in number 3.
Okay,
I'm going to say they go a good length to be able to walk away and go impressive, because with 9 teams, you're essentially having, you know, 8 matches.
Mm-hmm.
So. Obviously, you're going to get some quick little roll-ups, and, you know, if the Lucha House Party, if Grand Metalik jumps off and, you know, Ivar is in the ring, he's probably going to douse him in a second. But I would say, once again, let's go to, sorry, and I know I'm stalling here. So the winner's going to be the 3rd spot. They're going to go all the way. But I'm also going to say who I want to win and who I think is going to win.
Okay.
Who I want to win. I think the Viking Raiders have a lot to gain from this because they've been gaining some really good speed. And of course, this is a Raw and SmackDown tag team. So this is almost like the tag team of tag teams right now. Because it's Kofi and Big E, it's usually Big E and Xavier is the tag team of New Day. So I can almost, if they don't win, that's okay. But I would say, I think the Viking Raiders are going to win. I want the New Day to win because I think there's some greatness with Kofi being a former champion and Big E. Everyone's dancing and singing. Everyone's booty shaking, throwing around pancakes or whatever. Yeah, so that's what I think. Sorry, that was a very long, drawn-out answer. Kyle,
all right.
What number do you think the winner is going to be? And who do you think the winner is going to be? Either who you want or who you think.
So I think number six.
Number six? Okay, okay.
So I think
okay.
that means they get four matches. They get half the number of matches.
Okay, okay, okay.
I think so.
Six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, four matches.
Yeah. So I think that's where it's going to come for number six.
Okay, I'm going to write this down.
I think the Viking Raiders are going to win. They haven't lost yet.
Yeah, they're still undefeated.
They haven't been pinned or submitted. They will never submit. They're not that kind of team. They will get pinned at some point in time, but not right now. So I think they're going to win. Just makes the most sense. I would like to see the Revival of the OC win because they're my two favorite tag teams in WWE. The Revival should win because if this was real, they, to me, are the best tag team in the world.
100%.
So, I mean, maybe a surprise entrance at number 10 with the Usos, but they're not coming back anytime soon. Even Naomi has stated that she's dealing with some personal issues, which makes me feel this is family related. So that being said, I think number six, Viking Raiders come out, whoop the, you know, they'll come in for a Lucha House Party or something like that, and they'll just squash them, and then they'll roll from there.
Yeah, I also think, just to add, now, or just for authenticity, the last two teams could be the Revival versus the Viking Raiders because they're both the champions.
Yeah, I think New Day opens.
You think New Day opens? That makes sense. That makes sense.
Because they're going to be like, oh, Riyadh or Saudi Arabia, how are they going to do it?
Oh,
you know?
So they get them pumped up.
They can't
do
it in the middle. It won't be the same. So I think that's what's going to happen. All right. So let's get into a little bit more of the special matches. For the first time ever in Saudi Arabia, not the first time ever in the Middle East for WWE, but the first time ever in Saudi Arabia specifically, finally, as we have... People have been chirping about this before. Yep. We have a women's match. Natalya versus Lacey Evans. Interesting choice, I think, to some extent. I think that they've shown that Natalya and Lacey put on good matches. So I think from WWE side, it's a safer bet. Hmm. They don't do anything too crazy. They don't... and also, visually... They are two of the more modest wrestlers.
Very true.
So no. My guess is that whenever they were speaking with whoever it is from the Saudi Arabia side, they probably were easier to sell. Now, I know that Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks did the full body suits for the match in somewhere else in the Middle East.
Yeah, I can't remember or other.
But I just think, I mean, you should just see how restrictive they need to be with their attire. I know that Renee Young tends to be a little bit more reserve in what she does when she's commentating.
Yep.
But now she's not going to be there. Which I think is unfortunate, by the way, that there isn't a woman. And I not necessarily that Renee was the best person or Beth Phoenix, but that there isn't a women's representation somewhere in one of the announce crew.
That's true. And maybe there might be. Maybe it might surprise us.
Yeah.
Crown Jewel is the night you mix everything together. So,
yeah.
But I see what you mean. The chances are you're probably going to see.
And I think Natalya comes out because I think this is a moment where you want the face, the baby face, not the heel, to come out on top.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, and I think it's good. You know, it's at first when I saw it was announced, the first thing that came to my mind was Becky Charlotte, you know what I mean? Or Becky Sasha or whatever. But then I did kind of went down the same path where I'm like, okay, well, we got to be careful here. Now, number one, the biggest thing is WWE does not force anyone who does not want to go there. They do not penalize them if they don't want to go. Like if Daniel Bryan doesn't want to be there, Kevin Owens doesn't want to be there, which of course they are not here because they don't believe in that. And that's their right. And good on them for standing what they believe in, and WWE doesn't bury them for that. So who knows, maybe all the females who would have wanted to go there. But then I totally agree. I think when you look at, And it's not saying that any other female is less classy, but when you look at ring attire, of course you get Charlotte, and you know, Charlotte's a very respectable female, and she's not a flaunty one by any means, but at the same time, she does come quite skimpy and very large-chested, sticking out, and not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but at the same time, we're talking about Saudi Arabia, which they do have some very crazy views and rules on females and how they are presenting themselves. And Natalia has always been very full-bodied suit, same as Lacey. You know, a little bit more skin showing, but at the same time, very covered as well. And we've seen Natalia and Lacey go at it several times now, and they have put on very good matches, technical matches. I think Lacey Evans is going to win, only because I think Natalia has beat her the last few times in a row. Now that I've seen this match being announced, it kind of ruins it for it. What kind of ruins it a little bit is the fact that Natalia chose Lacey to be her tag team partner the other week.
Yeah.
You know, and like that just kind of, I look back on that and I go, well, then why did you do that if you guys are just fighting now? You guys aren't friends. Like, you didn't become a tag team, you know, in two different brands. Like, what was the point of that? But either which way, I think the biggest focus needs to be, they're going to put on a great match. We know that. But it's a big moment because it's WWE going to Saudi Arabia is to change the culture. And yes, a lot of people just say BS, bull. No, they're not. It's all about money. Don't get me wrong. They're getting paid bank to go there.
Yep.
There's a reason why Shawn Michaels came back. And he said on an interview, he didn't say what it was, but the payday was crazy. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, this is perfect. Bringing female sports to another country. And WWE can say they were one of the first people to do that. And that's beautiful. So, yeah.
All right. Up next is... I don't know how to describe this match because it's so out there. Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury. I think it's very interesting because Tyson Fury is an active boxer.
Yep.
He has a very WWE-styled personality to
him.
He
does.
Which I like. They already got him in the ring a little bit. You know, it's funny because he's as tall as Braun, which is not often we get to see this, but yes. He definitely does not have the size that Braun does. So, this one's going to be an interesting one. I don't know how to call this one. I feel like it's going to end up in a no DQ. I don't know how. I don't know if... Maybe we don't even get a match. Maybe we just get... They tussling and they go out of the ring. And, you know, they get counted out. I don't know how you protect both of them. I don't.
That's a very tough one. And that I think that's the big question that, you know, I know that I've struggled with. Now, WWE's and especially too, when I see people online, and it just goes to show, like, you clearly have not been watching WWE for a long time. It's like, what is a boxer doing in WWE? It's like, man, since the beginning of time, 30 plus years, Muhammad Ali, like
Sugar Ray Leonard, Baron Corbin is a Golden Globe winner, Mark Mero. Yeah.
Mark Mero, exactly. So they're no stranger to bringing celebrities in, other sports entertainers mm-hmm. in and such. And Tyson Fury, exactly as you said, is that he can cut a promo and he cuts it like he does in the boxing ring.
Yep.
You know, he's the lineal heavyweight champion of the world, undefeated. This is Tyson Fury is as tough as they come. So realistically to think, I think Tyson Fury could knock Braun Strowman out.
Do you think he does it accidentally on purpose? Do you think he actually knocks him out with a real punch?
I think he knocks him out. I think because he is a champion, and I think there's so much insurance and worry around Tyson Fury,
yeah.
I think how bumps he's going to take is going to be very limited.
Yeah.
I
think it'll be a lot of pushing.
Yeah, I think he's going to... Hearing, actually, just this week on ESPN's podcast, Ariel Helwani, the Ariel Helwani Show, which is a primary MMA show, Triple H and Tyson Fury were on there. And obviously Tyson Fury is apparently getting paid like $20 million for this match. It's nuts.
Do you think he really is getting paid $20 million?
So asked the question. I can't remember the exact number, but it was something stupid like that. And he was asked the question, and it wasn't like, no. But they kind of continued to talk. Like, it was pretty much like without saying yes, they were saying yes. But no, I think... It's a great way to show off size, face off, couple of shoves. It is if anyone's thinking for a big old match, this is an entertainment spot.
Yeah.
This is to see Tyson Fury join the wrestling world, and Tyson Fury's a big WWE fan, has been for a very long time, and he's always wanted to get in the WWE ring.
Yeah.
So this is perfect. I love that. I love hearing that. It's not like, you know, you don't watch wrestling, you kind of come in, you know, but then I'm here for a payday. Sure, the payday is great, but I want, like, when I hear people have been watching wrestling, loves wrestling, have always wanted to do this, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a Tuffle and a Buffle. I think Tyson Fury losing doesn't make any sense. I agree with your take where a DQ could make sense, keeps both of them strong. At the same time, Braun Strowman, whatever, he's a monster among men. No one's going to look at him any differently. I think, regardless of whatever happens, a little tussle and a bustle, I think Tyson Fury rocks a right hand right at him, and Braun sells it like no business, and Braun goes down. And that's it. Yep.
All right, so up next, the second last match that we are going to discuss, probably going to be, I would say, the main event.
I would say Team Hogan versus Team Flair will be the main event. Yeah.
Our Team Hogan, we have Roman Reigns, Rusev, Ricochet, Shorty G, and Ali. And on Team Flair, Randy Orton, King Corbin, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Drew McIntyre. I will tell you that I have my opinions on old-timers coming back. Ric Flair is out of control. Yeah. And it's scary. Because at one point in time, he didn't know where he was.
No.
He couldn't tell if he was either on the Raw show or the SmackDown show in whichever city it was, in Cleveland or Kentucky or whatever it was. And I think he was like, I'm not going to remember this. And I'm just going to go off on it. So obviously, it looked... I don't know.
Was it a couple weeks ago when they were doing the promo and he just starts going off?
Yeah.
And then he takes the jacket off, starts smacking himself, and hits the ropes, and Hogan's just trying not to bust a laugh. And it's like, whoa, brother. You know what this is? It's a way for the Saudi Arabian prince, who's a big wrestling fan. This is his way of seeing Hogan and Flair against each other. Everything in between is whatever. It's going to be fun. There's no stakes. It is a little bit of a mixture of a Raw and SmackDown.
I like that.
You know, which I like that. And
I like how it's heels versus faces.
It's heels versus faces. They didn't train, you know, on SmackDown, they didn't have the Raw people there. They referenced them, but they weren't there to go. No, the brand, because they respected the brand split in that sense. I think this is going to be a fun match. You're going to see Bobby Lashley and Rusev tussle and bustle at this one, where I think it's going to lead to a Survivor Series match. Mm-hmm. I think put away the stupid stuff that's aside and just start focusing on Rusev and Bobby, and that's where you're going to save that storyline.
Yeah.
Because together, then you could start like this. Yeah, we'll talk about it after, but just silly in-between stuff. But you're going to see some great stuff. Like, obviously, Shorty Gable and Corbin, you know, and Ali and Randy Orton. You know, it's all kind of people who have, you know, Drew and Roman have a history together. And Nakamura, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but I think the big thing is we're gonna end off the Saudi Arabian Crown Jewel show with Hogan, you know, doing a pose, putting his ear out to the crowd, you know, and then Flair's gonna do some little strutting and do the same thing, and then we're gonna call it a night. But I think it's fun. You know me, I've been watching wrestling consistently for a very long time. I love those two. Ric Flair's on borrowed time, you know what I mean. So I think he's just loving life right now, and he's just happy to be there. And Hogan, of course, you know, he's getting up there in age and he's just trying to rebrand himself. But I think it's just going to be fun. I'm not really, and I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested on saying who I think is going to win.
I don't think you can really tell. And what's interesting is it's a straight up 10-man tag team.
Yep.
It's not a elimination.
One pinfall, two.
Yeah,
two,
so really anything can happen. Yep. I will say that I've been okay with the way that they've been building this.
Yeah.
Outside of the Hogan and Ali, Hogan and Flair stuff.
Right.
Intermixing the matches, you know, here or there, nothing too crazy. We don't see all the guys together in like a one-on-one, but all the other four come and then they get into this full tussle.
Right.
I like that it's been split out.
It's building the importance of the match. Yep. It's not about necessarily the personal storylines or anything. You're right, and I really like that too. So no, hey, enjoy it for what it is. Hogan and Flair for the last time competing against each other, you know, so.
All right. Here we go. The big one. The one that is really blurring the lines between reality and the show.
Yep.
We have the WB champion, Brock Lesnar, and recently signed Cain Velasquez, who unfortunately, for whatever reason, can't possibly get a proper picture on the crown jewel display, because that is not him.
That is a heavily photoshopped version.
That doesn't even look like him. It looks like it was drawn, which irks me, but whatever. And even all the other stuff, it's the same head. It doesn't even make any sense to me. But
so apparently, after his debut, apparently Vince, not a fan. Not a fan, doesn't like how he looks. He thought he would be bigger. He thought he would be buffer. Apparently he was not very, you know, so that's why you've seen his shirt on.
I'm also surprised they didn't rock the mask.
True.
Because he was doing that in AAA.
Very true.
But I guess if you're going to play this Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez UFC thing, then you need to see his face.
And Cain, and I don't worry about Cain Velasquez's body or face. He's one of the baddest men on the planet.
I think if they can get him to show the physicality, then the look will be done. Despite.
No, 100%.
I take issue with it being a championship match.
Yeah, I would have loved it to be just a, what do you call it?
Just a regular match.
Just a regular match.
And I think it would have played it better for a win, either side winning.
Yep.
Because then it's just like, if Kane beats Brock, then hey, Kane, you know, Brock still can't beat Kane, but it's not for the belt.
Yeah, well, the belt's not the big storyline here.
Right.
It's their past.
Right.
It's the fact that Cain Velasquez, in real life, has beaten the crap out of Brock Lesnar inside of an octagon badly, you know, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, for the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, like, this is as deep as it gets, as personal as it gets. And you're right, and I totally agree. It's I feel this should have been an exhibition. That's what I mean. An exhibition bout where it was, no title on the line, because it doesn't need to be, especially to you can sell it. Because, yes, I'm a big believer of even when the champion is wrestling, the title should be on the line. But in this case, it's his first match. He doesn't deserve it. So that's why it's not on the line. So I think this match, for me, Brock Lesnar doesn't lose the championship, although that would be quite big. That would shake everything. For me, I'm not even looking at that. Cain Velasquez, this is his Ronda WrestleMania debut. This is his, you know, Kurt Angle 20-plus years ago debut. This is his moment. This will be everything for Cain Velasquez. If he shits the bed...
What are they going to do? They sent him for 4 years.
Yeah, if he craps the bed...
He'll sit the performance center for...
Oh, God, it'll be so bad for him.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, the fans can be very, very, very brutal. And if they're not invested... The good thing is you're getting a lot of UFC eyes. I'm a huge UFC fan.
Yeah.
And I know very much. And especially, too, Kane's got a lot to prove. Kane just came back from 2-3 months ago. Just got knocked the heck out from Francis Ngannou in, like, the first round of his first match back in 3 years. So,
yeah.
Kane's been out of it for a little bit dealing with injuries. But now I think he's completely moved forward. Now he is a pro wrestler. But apparently, from what I've heard, apparently he's quite good.
Yeah,
so
we'll see.
But what do you think? What's happening here?
I don't know. Again, it's a tough call. If Kane wins, Brock has to beat him at some point in time. But if Kane wins, like, Kane's not going to be on TV. I don't think you're going to see Kane after this match, regardless. Mm. You're not going to see him right away.
Mm.
He's going to go to the Performance Center. He's going to learn how to wrestle the WWE way. How do you deal with the cameras and all that other stuff? How do you make sure that whatever you're doing, people can see? You won't see him. So I really do think that Brock Lesnar is going to win. Or Kane might win, but Brock doesn't lose the belt.
Yeah, you know, or Brock's put into a corner where Kane's a lot better in the wrestling ring than he expected, and Brock disqualifies himself.
Yeah.
Or Heyman helps. The only way I can possibly think of Kane... Especially they're putting the titles on Brock because they want Brock as a champion on Fox. If Kane were to win, I don't think it's legitimately. I think it's because Dominic or Ray stepped in and caused something. I don't see a clean win for Kane, even if he does win. Very interesting. But I think, this is not title-based. I'm not worried about any of that. I really hope Cain Velasquez has a really good first show because that will set the tone for everything in his career.
All right, so that wraps up our Crown Jewel review. Preview. Because you haven't reviewed it yet. It's preview. A preview. That's right, it's a preview. So after the break, we will just kind of wrap up with This Week in Wrestling. And
topics, yep.
We shall go from there. Yeah. So please stay tuned. We shall be back.
Be right back. You wake up in the morning. We go on this town. We go on this town. When you wake up in the morning. We go on this town. We go on this town. When you wake up in the morning. We go on this town. We go on this town. When you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. How's it going? All right, so now that we're done, you know, the meat of the podcast, talking about Crown Jewel and what we think coming up tomorrow, let's also just kind of brush across the last week of wrestling. Of course, there wasn't anything, you know, too crazy, you know, with Raw and SmackDown. The biggest things we saw, I would say probably 90% of everything, was the build of Crown Jewel, which, hey, hats off to them. I like it when they kind of focus on one and not just try to focus on Survivor Series and Crown Jewel one thing at a time. That's great. But of course, you know, I just want to kind of touch on a couple of topics, and Kyle, by all means, join in, and we'll call this almost like the random section of the podcast, I guess.
Well,
random
This Week in Wrestling.
This Week in Wrestling. There you go. But I'll say, just in retrospect to Raw and SmackDown, just a couple of things that I did like. Number one on SmackDown was the Shinsuke, Sami Zayn, and Daniel Bryan segment. Of course, Daniel Bryan comes out to the ring. You know, the big question, you know, the interview was, is the Yes movement back? He had not had an opportunity to say anything. Yes, the crowd clearly behind it and throwing their arms up in the air, chanting yes, yes, yes. And then Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn come down, and they remind Daniel Bryan via a little video package how Daniel Bryan has been, what he said, you know, kind of almost reminding him, you're a heel, you know, you're against these guys, like, come, like, stick on this side, like, come on, like, you know. And what I think was beautiful about that segment was Daniel Bryan, you know, did a beautiful job with his facial work, just his body motion. Daniel Bryan didn't have to say a word, and he helped tell a great story. Kind of looked at his hand when Sammy kind of extended it out for a little handshake. Looked at his hand. It wasn't an overly dramatic no, but he kind of just walked away. And it kind of made you think, going, usually when someone walks away, you would think like, oh, it's a no. But at the same time, you're like, it's a no? I don't know. So clearly they're just trying to hook you on where, is the Yes movement back? Is Daniel Bryan still a prick? Is he still a bad guy, a heel? Either which way, I'm fine with it. It would really nice to see, good to see him go back towards the realm of a heel. But at the same time, I feel you've almost put a foot too much on the other side.
Yeah.
Where I think it doesn't need to be right away. But I would love to see a build where, you know, maybe they kind of pokes at him. And then eventually Shinsuke Nakamura goes up against Daniel Bryan. And then the Yes movement comes back. Boom, new Intercontinental Champion. I think WWE can benefit a lot from a babyface Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I know they can. I was enjoying the initial run of the heel Daniel 100%. Bryan. Once Rowan started getting in, I think it really suffered.
Yeah.
Especially when they were the tag team champions, but nobody really cared. And then he went kind of crazy, but not far enough crazy. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's great that they're telling stories differently instead of being very predictable. So hopefully, though, we do see something from Daniel Bryan. I think he's a great talent to have, and you can do a lot with him. We need to see him do something.
Yes, and I think, yeah, it's... And, of course, I know they're taking it easy with him. They're not wanting to overstress. You know, of course, even though he's been back for quite some time now, I know they don't want to just kind of, like, take advantage of that, which is very good. Apparently, after every match, even now, he gets checked to make sure everything's okay, because WWE does not want him to be in a bad spot like he was before. So, but no, I think, yeah, in the world where, you know, ratings and everything else, 4 years ago, the Yes movement was one of the biggest things in wrestling. And I think having him back on top. And once again, I'd love to see Daniel Bryan, babyface, Yes movement, once again. just like AJ Styles, start, you know, lose the United States Championship, boom, go up against, go in the world title picture. I'd love to see Daniel Bryan to get back up there as well. Because a babyface Daniel Bryan as champion defending, I think his run, a new run, can be everything that Kofi Kingston's wasn't.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's kind of my take. That's one thing I really did like from SmackDown. And that was really, the only thing from SmackDown, and the one thing from Raw, which I kind of want to get your take on, is the whole Rusev-Bobby Lashley thing. So just a very high-level recap. Of course, Rusev's back. Apparently, Maria Kanellis' baby daddy. She was lying. He's not the baby daddy. But then Lana comes out. Bobby Lashley comes out. Lana comes out and starts smooching. They're seeing massaging each other. They're on dates. They're in bed with each other. They're half naked with each other. You know, clearly she's with Bobby. But then, of course, this week took a little bit of a turn. The main segment on Raw was King's Court in Divorce Court, where it was very much a conversation between Rusev and Lana, which clearly is leading towards a Lashley-Rusev match. But it kind of took a really weird twist where, you know, so even though you've been seeing all the sexual stuff from Lana, her big thing was, Rusev, you were too sexual. You're a sex addict. You wanted sex in the morning. You wanted sex in the afternoon. You wanted sex in the... So very edgy to go that route. You know, like talking about sex and everything else, where there's nothing wrong with it, but at the same time, not what they usually do. What do you think about this whole storyline? Are you enjoying any of it? Where would you like to see it go?
So I'm not enjoying it. I know that I talked about it last week about, you know, how we don't really need to do this stuff. I think it's a bit ridiculous. There's better ways to put Rusev and Bobby Lashley together.
Yeah.
I don't think you need this storyline. The storyline was done before when we had the Dolph Ziggler thing, yep, and they ruined it.
Very much so.
I don't believe anybody in this roles. I just don't.
No.
I think you would have better off bringing back Rusev Day. If you wanted to bring Rusev back, I think it would have been better. The only benefit that's been having is that they haven't been in the ring together.
Right.
Like they haven't had a match yet. So I'm okay with that aspect.
Yeah, they've been kept quite distant, which is good.
Yeah, I just think that in this day and age of television, to have a fake restaurant, it just doesn't make logical sense. Why would they, like, why do you pretend like the camera isn't there? At least, like, when Samoa Joe was going to AJ Styles' house, and he was doing it, he was holding the camera.
Oh, God, yeah. It was right? almost like dragging a cameraman. Yeah. Being like, come see what I'm about
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
Like, why is there a camera in your bedroom? Why is there a camera at this restaurant? Like, I'm over that kind of...
It's hard to suspend that disbelief.
Yeah, I think there's better opportunities to tell stories. So for me, this just isn't really doing it for me. I think both of them have great opportunities. I just would rather see... it done differently.
Yeah. Nope. You said everything that I completely agree and feel. Especially too, it's, you know, and yes, we want to suspend our disbelief and, you know, all that stuff. But at the same time, it is very hard to think, you know, it's like you're in the bedroom and you're naked. Why is there a camera there? You know, and if anything, have fun with it. Have it be he's setting up a camera,
yeah,
and it's like, is
exactly.
it on? You know, almost, if you're going to go down that route, go like, this is a sex tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, have him be like, okay, is it recording? It's on? All right, baby. And then just jump into bed. Like, or just make that be the whole gimmick. It's like, hey, you rolling? Hey, you know what I mean? Like, took her to the restaurant you never took her to.
Yeah.
You know, almost be it like, I'm recording this stuff to put it in your face.
Yeah.
But that's a really good point because it doesn't make any sense. Why is there a camera in your bedroom automatically and you're going to go have, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so.
So, listen to any good podcasts lately?
I have lots of really good podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, of course, as we were talking about before recording, Corey Graves has a new podcast out. I haven't, the first episode just dropped this week. I haven't listened to it yet. I downloaded it. Very interested to see what type of content it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called After the Bell with Corey Graves. Let's see. So this week I said
Triple H.
Seth, yeah, Bailey and Ric Flair guest stars, big guest right out the bat. And of course he has access to these people. So my one hope is that he's very candid and open. One podcast very candid and open that I love is Busted Open Radio. Busted Open Radio is on podcast now.
Yep.
Definitely give them a check out if you haven't. One thing that they were talking about, which then led me to watch the video clip, was a little conversation that CM Punk had, and I think it was with Barstools. I could be butchering that. It's on YouTube. But they were talking about how, you know, usually over the years, CM Punk is asked about WWE, and it's always like, bah, 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 screw that, F that, whatever. Of course, at StarCast, he had that big, almost two-hour sit-down, and he kind of said he'd be open to a call. Now they started asking the questions of how much money would it take if you went back? And he wasn't like, and usually it's, I can't say yes because everyone will look at it whatever way, but and he usually ignores. But he was kind of open to it going, like almost like, yeah, like $20 million. Like, or like, you know, a lot of money, this many figures. And it was just weird because it just seemed how he was openly and utterly just open to the thought of coming back to WWE.
So I don't get it, to be honest with you. If this was CM Punk like 2 years after he left, then yeah, but he had a very, very unsuccessful run in UFC.
Right.
Nobody can say it was a success. I feel like he is riding the high of this old, like the myth or William Wallace, you know, this story that's been passed on from generation to generation where he is, you know, larger than life and, you know, there's all this other stuff where I don't know if he could really come into the ring again and be the same CM Punk that people are expecting him to be.
That's a very good point. I don't think he would do it unless he could.
Right, but the problem is that, so he also said he'd be willing to go to AEW. Because really he'll go where the money is. That's right. What he's pretty much said right now is he'll go where the money is. And I just don't know if WWE would get the payoff that the money would cost them.
Only if it was long-term for Punk. I think that's where,
but even then, only... I don't think it'll be long-term.
No. Yeah, I think it would be part-time, but I guess I mean long-term on a part-time basis where he would sign a 5-year contract on a part-time term.
Yeah.
Like, they would have longevity with him. I don't know. Yeah, it's just... There's a funny thing, too, on the other conversation was once again, you'll get this if you watch Something to Wrestle With, where, you know, how big is Batista's dick?
Yeah.
And then CM Punk was like, do you want me to actually answer that for you? And apparently he grabbed, like, this large Gatorade or this, like, drink container thing, and he was like... No, a Lysol bottle. And he was like... And then everyone's like, what? But no, yeah, it's just interesting. So of course it's not about like CM Punk is coming back, confirmed, PWO show, but it's interesting to me to see that he's more open to the conversations now recently. Of course, time heals all wounds. I'm sure, you know, his UFC and MMA career wasn't as much as it wanted to be. He checked it off the list. He did it, and no one could ever take that away from him. It's just interesting now to go, and I'm sure he's made his money and he's good. Guy makes, like, to go, I think he made, what is it, Wizard World for, like, a one-hour appearance. I think they paid him, like, $50,000. Like,
yeah,
he can make money. But I think, and this is a long shot think, because I don't actually know, I think he's starting to miss wrestling.
I think he's missing the success because he didn't find it in UFC. No. So I think he's missing the best I'm on top. I'm the main attraction. So wrestling is his home.
And you know, imagine Monday after WrestleMania, 2020, Cult of Personality hits.
Yeah.
Imagine everyone that would turn like a 2 million view into like a 5 million view. Everyone would be streaming it online, looking at it. That YouTube clip would get 10 million plus hits. The world would go crazy. I love CM Punk. He's one of my favorite entertainers. I was watching him in Ring of Honor. I was watching him all over the place before WWE and before NXT and all that. And I would say if he comes back, do it because he wants to. I want to know that. Kind of like how the New Day, the new scope is when legends do come back, where you hear all these people saying, it's like, yeah, I had some heat with the WWE and Vince and all these people, but now that I'm back, like, we squashed. I want to know that he sat down with Vince and Hunter and really squashed the beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I would hope for that at the very least.
Right.
I would hate for him to come back knowing that all the crap still happened. Then he left again going, nothing's changed. And that would really, really, really ruin it for me. And I don't know. Just if it came back, I want it to be for the right reasons. Because if it ain't, don't come back.
Yeah.
And do what you've been doing for all these years and, you know, for the last almost 5 years and be away. So I just found that really interesting on how recently he's a little more open to, I'll answer a phone call, I'll talk to anyone. Where before it was, suck a dick and die. Like, get out of here. Like, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Interesting.
So to go back to, you mentioned Corey Graves, his podcast. I'm concerned. They've given Corey Graves a lot of opportunities on the WWE Network, and I just don't think Vince likes the stuff that he's doing. I don't think Vince gets modern television. So he had his tattoo show, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
that got cacked. He had the other show with John Layfield. It was supposed to, and Paul, is it Paul Rosenthal?
Paul Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good little show.
Right. It was a great, you know, finally they were covering some, you know, kind of pulling back the curtains a little bit. So I'm hoping that the podcast will do the same, but I just can't. It's to compete with AEW, who's doing their own podcast.
Yeah.
I just can't see this thing going long term based on Vince McMahon's history of, I want to do it now, but I don't get it, so we're not going to do it.
Right. If anything, I think Corey being who he is, and I know what you mean, where everything around, the only consistent thing about Corey Graves has been him being a commentator. Big move for him being the flagship of Fox with just him and Cole. I love them as a two-man booth.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are beautiful together. And I'll tell you, the Raw announce team hasn't been doing that bad.
I just don't get it.
But the thing is that there's nothing to get, though.
I know.
Like, there's no complaints.
I feel like Jerry is Jerry.
I think Jerry needs to move.
They're going to let him stay until they can find the right spot.
I think Jerry should go, and it should just be them too.
Because they've said, hey, Jerry, like, you stay as long as you want. Which means we don't really have anything else. So,
I think it's just two very young, tenured people, and they just need someone.
Like, Vic's okay. Vic does an okay job. I still prefer Tom Phillips.
Of course.
The other guy, he reminds me a lot of Excalibur on AEW, where he's got a lot of room to grow. He's still trying to figure it out. I just don't know if that was the right spot.
100% agree.
Maybe you would have put Mauro Ranallo and Nigel McGuinness up on Raw and run those two as a two-man, because I would love those two as a two-man.
100%. I think and I know what you mean, and I'm with you. I think my thing is that I don't have anything bad to say. You know what I mean? Like, no one can say, like, I hate how he says this or does that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. It's, I guess the big question almost is what were we expecting to get from it?
I don't know.
Like, we think JR, the wow moments. You know what I mean? God, like, he's broken in half. Like, the different moments that we've had with people. And I don't know. I guess it's interesting.
To me, it just feels like they flipped shows. SmackDown is clearly the A show now, and Raw is clearly the B show.
It's gotta be. They paid $2 billion to be on that, or $4 billion to get that damn thing. Or no, yeah. $2 billion, sorry.
Over 5 years, yeah.
But no, very, very true. But I think, I think my hope is that, and where it could get pulled is because it is a WWE-branded podcast.
Yeah.
They're clearly getting to the podcast world, which can be very, very good for them. You know, very, very good, because they have a lot of people who got a lot of good things to say.
Yeah, you just gotta, you know. It's how much do you let them talk freely versus, similar to the situation with, what was it? There's something more to wrestle with.
The WWE Network version of something to wrestle with.
Yeah, where they ran into a couple problems of some of the content and where they went back and forth with whether they were going to let them air.
So that was at the very beginning.
Yeah.
But then it ended up being fine. They could say whatever they want. The only thing they had to drop was the F word.
Right. And not say Federation.
Right. Only because you legally you couldn't.
Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, I just feel like I would like to see this podcast work. I just don't know if it's going to have the longevity of...
I think he's okay with it. Bruce is still very open and candid about shit and on something the Russell.
Oh, it's just more like because it's Vince.
Oh, sure. For sure. I know what you mean. What kind of mood is he going to be in long term? Is he going to hear it or listen to it or hear a little negativity and just pull the plug on it and say, nope, you're done. But I'm with you on that. But I do hope it goes well because I think a very candid, open Corey Graves can bring great, especially how much access he has to the locker room.
Yeah.
The interviews he could have, I think, would be beautiful. And if anything, WWE can say, like, we had that podcast interview. You know, it's...
Yeah.
So, but no, very, very true. Very true.
So is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we head out?
I think, obviously, tonight is AEW's, Dynamite on TNT, their fourth week. We were kind of looking a little online. We're not going to say anything right now, just in case you haven't seen it. But of course, tonight crowned their first ever AEW Tag Team Champions. Of course, the expanding and continuation that we're going to see between Cody Rhodes and Jericho, going into Full Gear, which is coming up very shortly. As well as one thing, once again, happened weeks ago, but you're kind of hearing a little bit more about it now, which is funny. Good job on Impact. Clearly, that's how much they're not really talking about it. But Impact has a new, spoiler alert, Impact has a new world champion, no longer Brian Cage, Sami Callihan.
Good person to run their flagship.
Very good person to run it. Very good, very different, very ballsy guy. People were congratulating him. Some very close friends of his online. Tommaso Ciampa gave him a great, great, great little shout out where Sami just replied back saying pretty much F you. He sells the gimmick. He lives the gimmick. He does it all. I think that's great for the new attitude-ish era that Impact is walking towards. I think it's fantastic.
All right.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to go over?
No. Right, cool. Is it for me?
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for the listen tonight. Of course, make sure you're watching Crown Jewel tomorrow night. Friday night SmackDown on Friday night, and we'll be back next week where we will review the results of Crown Jewel, any highlights for SmackDown Raw, and of course, we'll touch on tonight's episode of AEW as well.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining. Once again, my name is Kyle.
And my name's Mark.
And this is the PWO Show.
Sorry, Alan, if it's too loud or weird, we hope we fixed it.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a good night.
Good night, guys.